KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. A heartbreaking start to the school year for people in the Chapel Hill, North Carolina area after the fall semester was off to a tragic start. A gunman opening fire on UNC's campus. A faculty member was killed. The community was left on edge. ABC's Steve Osunsami.
Parents with kids at a nearby grade school were in a panic. This was their first day of the school year, and the entire school district was locked down for much of the day.
And this was the last thing that I was kind of hoping to feel on the first day of my kids' school.
Police are asking all students and staff to stay away from the lab where they're investigating this evening and where the shooting happened.
The gunman was taken into custody. A photo of a person of interest matches one on the university's website, listing him as a graduate student. Florida bracing for Idalia, expected to strengthen to a hurricane.
It's likely to continue strengthening all the way until impact, and it could have a catastrophic storm surge in your area.
This is ABC News. A production halt, computer problems shut down all 28 vehicle assembly lines at Toyota's 14 plants in Japan. The company would not say which models might be affected. Amazon is raising its minimum for free shipping for customers who do not have a Prime membership. It's now $35, up from the previous minimum of $25 per order. The change has no impact on current Prime members who pay monthly or yearly. It's a rich man north of Richmond repeat on the music charts. ABC's Jason Nathanson explains.
Another week of Oliver Anthony sticking it to the rich men north of Richmond, his viral country hit again topping the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. Billboard points out that streams actually went up week to week, which is rare for a number one song. Rich men north of Richmond has created such a stir that it was a topic at last week's Republican presidential primary debate. Though Anthony has said it bothers him to see the topical song wrapped up in politics, and the song's title refers to those who were on that debate stage. Jason Athanson, ABC News.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood
Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
down he goes.
Won't...
intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK, 1260 AM, Lake Air, Emory.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Back for some. It's starting soon for others. And my question is, has bullying gotten worse, or are we just reporting it more? And that's not a problem if we are reporting it more, I don't think that's actually the issue, but I read a report. So the Boys and Girls Club of America did an annual survey, and they found that bullying in schools has shot up over the past 5 years. And I'm curious, because I do not have a child of school age yet. Greg Bach on the board also does not have school-age children.
Nope.
And I also, like, Greg, were you bullied? Oh, God.
Yes.
Yes.
From a very...
Were you
very
physically, young. Both physically and mentally, like, no. Emotionally bullied?
No,
very... I feel like you, like, for people who do not know what Greg looks like, I feel like you'd be a hard person to physically bully if you were... similar stature as a kid.
I wasn't this size when I was 8.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I was always tall, yeah. Right? Like, I've always been, I was always like at least the tallest girl, if not the tallest kid.
Yeah, I was bullied mostly. It was mostly verbal and mental. Very few times would they try to beat me up. I was always like a pudgy kid, then I was a tall kid, then I was a big, tall kid. And Very few times that people try to come at me physically, they just knew, mm-hmm. Let's go after his mental status. He, like, you know how, like, you know, the Death Star has that, like, that drainage hole in it that just, like, just happens to be the thing that will destroy it every time. Shot it every single time in there and just...
nailed, like, it. Target. Bullseye. Every time.
Every single time. Just the rebel wins every single time. Yeah, from first grade until probably about, like, I'd probably say, like, early high school.
Early high school.
Yeah.
And so that's why I asked, like, I don't know if I was ever bullied. I got kicked out of my group of girlfriends in like sixth grade. Right. So it's like, I had a group of girlfriends. All of a sudden one day I showed up at school, they didn't want to be my friends anymore. And then they kind of bullied me. And there was the random, you know how you had to share textbooks, like in like middle school, at least for us, like we had the morning class was, you know, English and social studies. And then we swapped with the other class to have our science and math teacher in the afternoon. So we did that. So we shared books. So instead of all having our own books. And so I remember opening one of the books one day and someone had written something about me that it was, you know, Kristen Bry's a slut or something, like, you know, something middle school like. And
I give you credit. At least in sixth grade, you had friends.
Well, and that's the thing. And I had left my parochial school because I had felt like I didn't fit in there either. And I wasn't necessarily bullied there. I didn't feel like I had any friends. And so I don't remember necessarily being bullied, but certainly I was not scot-free as not having kids be mean to me at one point during childhood. And I'm not going to say it's a rite of passage, but I also feel like, especially physical bullying,
yeah,
I feel like there's such a lower threshold for that in schools now.
Oh, now
that
especially.
to see the rates and this survey from Boys and Girls Club say that it's only going up. Is it that it's actually going up, or it's just that kids are reporting it more?
I have to think that it might. So here's my thoughts on this, because I even though I hated my grade school and middle school time, is very painful. I'm thankful I had it then, because now, like, I don't know, as far as reporting going up, I think they're reporting it more, but there are also new avenues of bullying.
I mean,
when I was young, like, the most that it could do to quote unquote cyberbully you is call you on the phone. Now, like, kids are making up whole new Facebook accounts to go after kids. And
yeah,
that is terrifying. That is terrifying to me.
If you have thoughts on this, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Especially if you have grandkids or kids this age, or have more recent proximity to the issue, if you're a teacher, do you feel like bullying has changed since you were in school? Whether it's gotten worse, it's different. But I just think as the school year starts, this is interesting data. But it's also trying to put it in context, because, you know, it's like the classic, like, when it finally became okay to be left-handed.
Yeah.
Because for a really long time, the nuns would, like, slap you with a ruler if you tried to use your left hand. And so, like, the rates of reporting of being left-handed were very low until it became okay. And then it's like, oh, look at all these left-handed people. And so, you know, like, has bullying rates always been bad? It just has not been reported.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of what I'm interested in hearing from people who either have kids right now or still just have thoughts on, like, what the atmosphere looks like. 844-967-2789. And so, because I do think in general, I think Vox had an article recently that was like, people don't know how to act in public anymore. And so when we think about what adults have been doing at concerts, like throwing things at artists or acting out on airplanes or, you know, all of this antisocial behavior, like, are we really, is that also feeding into this of, like, years of pandemic disruption and causing kids to, like, not know how to handle stress, like, be worse at problem solving, be worse at peer relationships. And, like, is this also another part, like, is the bullying, emotional, like, antisocial behavior also part of this out of the pandemic in the same way that we've seen it with adults?
I mean, I just have this feeling that if people are, like, post-pandemic acting out, it was always in them. I don't think that they were. I think we see more people being jackwads in public, and so somehow we think it's accepted. You know, it's like, I can throw this, I can do this, I can speak to this human being like they are nothing because I saw some lady on TikTok or Instagram do it, and that's how I feel. No, that's just, it's not, it's, and to me, and what's weird is that, like, and I don't like to use the word PTSD or traumatic or anything like that. That's for, you know, other discussions, but there is an inner thing inside me when I see people acting like that in public. Like, that's just another way of bullying, because you're just trying to get your way and do your thing without any sort of consequences whatsoever. And so when you act that way in public and we see it on the airwaves, it's like, you're just a low rent bully is what you are, because you just want to get away with things.
But that's my point. It's like, is there a connection there between stuff in schools and stuff with adults?
Are you mean like were these people bullied in school as kids, or?
No, I mean, in the same way that in the increase of the things that we're seeing of antisocial behavior in adults, mm-hmm. is that also correlated to an increase in bullying in schools compared, like, according to this survey?
I mean, that could very well be. Yeah. I mean, not being around kids a whole lot, I can't really tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm around adults more than anything else, and I see their actions and their, you know, what they do in public. So, yeah, I mean, like you were saying before about the whole left-handed thing, my father was left-handed, went to Catholic school, and got beaten with a ruler. And because of that, traumatic effects for him. Traumatic.
Well, I'm pretty sure my dad, like, does both. Like, certain things he uses his left hand for, certain things he uses his right hand for. Like, I think, like, even sports, it's different. Writing, it's different. How he eats, like, eating, I think he eats with his left hand. But, like, yeah, I think if I'm getting this story correct, it was also due to Catholic school. Thank you, Catholic school. But here are some more of the stats that came out of that article. So 40% of child and teen respondents, and I should say that this 130,000 students between 9 and 18 year olds were surveyed for this report. So 40% of child and teen respondents said they were bullied on school campuses in the past year. 18% said they experienced cyberbullying. And a quote from Dorothy Espledge, who is the professor of education at University of North Carolina, kids have regressed in their social skills, ability to work with other kids, conflict management. They're a little bit more unregulated. And so at least for them, like, they've been doing this survey for years now. And by the numbers, so the numbers who said they were bullied on campus this year was 14 percentage points higher than 5 years ago before the COVID pandemic. So in 2019, it's 26%. This year, it's 40% with a steady increase year over year. So I don't know. I guess the question is, has bullying gotten worse, actually, or are we just reporting it more? 844-967-2789. We got Karina on the phone.
Yes, we do. Karina, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Well, you know what? Bullying is a horrible thing. It's just like what is really happening in somebody's head that allow themselves more, you know, any way to make somebody else feel bad. I mean, you have to endure that because it's not something what would be to me a normal, enjoyable thing that I'll hurt somebody.
Well,
one, and two, what I want to say, and maybe it sounds silly because, you know, we old people, we have our own mind. We were given so many freedoms. But at the same time, look what we have in the country right now. We have a bigger bully bullying everybody, government, law, the justice system, people. Are threatening, constantly threatening judges, senators. I mean, the government officials and the females. When this is happening on such a high level, then the simple people who live their own lives every day getting an idea that if everybody driving high speed, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
So most likely, if there is a 10 cars driving high speed, I'm probably not going to get caught. Or how come everybody else can do it and I can't? This is a herd mentality.
Yep.
And this is the worst of humanity. Worst of the humanity, because we're talking about, we hear that on the
unfortunately
radio.
Karina, we are coming up against a break, so we got to let you go. But thank you as always for your call. If you have thoughts on this, has bullying gotten worse or are we just reporting it more? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 56 overnight under mainly cloudy skies. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 75 tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 49. Mainly sunny skies and calm Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 75. 79 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
With your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me, you have knocked me off my feet again. Got me feeling like a nothing, you. With your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded, you. Picking on the weaker man.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are talking about bullying and whether or not it has gotten worse, like it says it has, according to a new study from the Boys and Girls Club called the Youth Right Now Survey. And as we said right before the break, it's over the last 5 years. So since, God, is that 5 years now? It's wild to think that 2019 is... like apparently, yeah, because 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, that's 5 years of surveys for them. That does not feel like it was 5 years ago.
Doesn't
that is terrifying.
Good. Doesn't feel good.
I think I was doing the math on that the other day of someone who graduated. I guess I saw someone who graduated from college in 2017, which is like, you know, that makes them like at least 10 years younger than me. And I still think of someone who graduated college in 2017 as like, young and like, oh, like they haven't been in the workforce that long. And I was like, oh no, like that was like six, seven years ago.
They're
like,
almost 30.
Like, they're like in their late like 20s. Like, never mind.
You know, something I want to go back to with Karina's discussion about bullying that I thought was very important to point out though is, you know, if we're talking about older people, yeah, I understand what she's saying as far as people like really like to see other people suffer, but I also don't think that's entirely true personally, because, you know, as someone who was very bullied a lot as a kid, you do a lot of thinking about those people and you think about where they come from and what they think and how they were raised, and you try to have empathy for them. It's hard to, but you try. And I don't know if they liked it, because they may come from a home where that sort of behavior is the way you show love. Because a lot of times, especially with young kids, you tell them, the what you're doing to this kid is hurting them. They might not even know. They're like, I didn't know that, because that's in my house. This is how you do things. And I don't truly believe it's some little kid saying, I like to hurt people. I think it's a hurting kid who's just trying to find love or express themselves. And the only way they know how to do it is through negative behavior. And what I'm hoping is, as more bullying is being reported now, we can help those kids find out what's going on. Like, is there something going on at home? Is there something going on up in the mind that is making you act this way? And how do we address it? Because when I was younger, kids didn't go to therapy. If you went to therapy, like you were in trouble. So like the fact that we have,
or your parents were getting divorced.
Yeah, I mean, like you were the talk of the cul-de-sac. But I mean, even though like bullying is terrible, I love the fact that it's being reported more. And I think we're hopefully like looking at children and saying, how do we help them? How do we help the parents too?
And I think that's my point. I'm not trying to sit here like, I think there's some people who make the argument like, kids are soft now. Like, oh, this is just like, kids can't take it. Like, I got bullied. I'm fine. Look at me. Like,
no, you're not, sir. No, you are not.
I'm not trying to make that argument at all as far as like, oh, we just need to toughen these kids up.
Yeah.
And I think it's fine that if like, even if the reason is reporting is going up, I don't think that's a bad thing, but it's like, has it actually changed? Because I do feel like there's always been bullying. I actually think physical bullying probably used to be worse.
Yeah.
Because it used to, like, I think that there is a way more zero tolerance policies in schools now where things just like get nipped in the bud quickly than there used to be. And so it's more of, is it changing? Is it just getting reported more? And I would love to hear from you. Has bullying gotten worse or are we just reporting it more? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And to go back, because were you ever on the other side, Craig?
You know, that was a question I was going to ask you too. Yeah, I definitely, but I never, it was never a like one-on-one thing that I can remember. I'm sure there's probably some kid who was like, yeah, you were a total jerk to me in school. But I definitely would join the pack so that the bullying wasn't happening to me. It's like fight or flight or survival mode. You're like, oh, everyone's now making fun of him. Okay, let's do this together because I don't want to go home crying again. And that's no way to live, and that's not cool. But I was also 9 or 10. So, yeah, I'm sure I engaged in the bullying.
I don't really – I remember distinctly, I think, in my sophomore year. I remember, like, I think we were kind of mean to the girls younger – like, the year younger than us.
Yeah.
And I don't remember – I have no idea why. Like, I can't remember of, like – what any of them did or anything. Like, so it was like, there was some mean
anything.
Like there was some, I'm trying to like, I engaged probably in some like mean girl type behavior and like groupthink, but I certainly never was like, I have it out for this person.
Yeah.
And then I am going
to destroy her.
Make their, like every day, my goal is to make this person cry. Like I was never, big shock. I was never that kid.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think back to like motivation. Cause like especially with the cyberbullying stuff, because that stuff is so intentional and like you are now going out of your way to be sending DMs and sending like and starting rumors and I try to like is that now just the escalated equivalent to, you know, whatever girl wrote that about me in the textbook?
I mean, it's the evolution of the practice really when it comes down to it. That's, I mean, it sucks to say that and it's a horrible thing, but these practices evolve over time with technology. And where one kid would open up a directory in 1987 and call you and pretend to be somebody else, now what they're going to do is they're going to get on Twitter or X or Facebook and DM Facebook. Like, kids are on Facebook. You know, they're going to get a hold of you privately and try to ruin you and ruin your life. I mean, bullies are creative and bullies move with the times.
But also, like, and this is probably opening up another can of worms that we would have to talk to child psychologists about, but like the differences between bullying and being mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what is the distinction of where it crosses over of actual bullying versus a mean comment or an unregulated reaction to something that a kid said? And so I don't know. If you have thoughts on this, I'd love to still hear. I think this is a fascinating topic. I'm surprised we haven't had more people weigh in on this, because it's, I think we all got bullied to a certain extent. But so if you would like to text or call 844-967-2789, what was your experience with bullying? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. One of former President Trump's co-defendants charged in the Fulton County RICO case has now become the first to enter a plea of not guilty. According to a new filing in the case, Ray Smith III waived his formal arraignment Monday and entered a plea of not guilty, according to that filing, to each and every charge of the indictment. Smith, a former local Trump attorney, is charged with 12 counts in the indictment, including making false statements to members of the Georgia Senate. Former President Trump looks to have a busy schedule between running for president again and his legal challenges. March 4th is the date set for the trial related to January 6th. That is the day before Super Tuesday.
We're going to have all of these candidates who are going to be making their last-minute appeals to voters across the country. And that's going to be a critical time. And former President Trump is likely not going to be out on the trail. And we know that his opponent is going to be looking to take advantage of that.
ABC's Avery Harper. A deadly shooting at UNC Chapel Hill. This is ABC News.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
And it would help if I unmuted my mic. welcome
technology.
Back to Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, your host. Greg Bach is on the board. And we are talking about, we're wrapping up our conversation around bullying. And because I saw a headline this morning from Axios covering a survey from Boys and Girls Club, their annual Youth Right Now survey that showed the rates of bullying are going up. It would also be interesting because as the rates of kids and teens saying they are being bullied. I wonder how much if they ever talk to kids like, I am bullying more. Like, I wonder, like, do you think, like, there's ever any kids who are like, no, I know that I've gotten meaner, like, are that self-aware?
Oh, no, I attended some workshops this summer, really, really sharpened my skills. I don't really do the violence, the physical stuff. I really just try to crack them. Do you ever see Star Wars? You know how the Death Star has that little hole in it? That's what I do. I get in there.
Target process.
It's about working smarter, not harder.
Exactly. Well, we got a comment on the YouTube live stream from Michael. The difference between being mean and bullying is interesting to me. I feel like that line moved in recent years. Being on the receiving end of either is not fun, though. No, so I looked that up during the break, and when you say, you just Google, you know, the difference between bullying and being mean. And there's a couple different things that pop up, and I just grabbed the first one. This is from don'tbeamonster.org. Which is a serious website.
It's a nonprofit.
It's a nonprofit that is about bullying. And so they say, in the short terms, I'm not going to read everything, but being rude is inadvertently saying or doing something that hurts someone else. Being mean, purposefully saying or doing something to hurt someone, maybe once or twice. Bullying, intentionally aggressive behavior repeated over time that involves an imbalance of power. It is willful, repeated, and harmful. Often it is targeted on one person. Yeah. So I think that's actually a really good definition as far as the intentionality of it, the repetitiveness of it, and the power part of it, I think is interesting as far as whether it's physical power or social clout, so like the popular kids, or feeling like, because often I feel like there's been kids who say mean things in class, but like if they don't have this, if they don't have like the social standing and like the respect of their peers, everyone can kind of just be like, whatever, they're just being mean, and it's mean, but you don't take it as like an imbalance of power. And I think those all like stand for being an adult too.
It's generational mean. You're new mean. No, this is generational mean we're doing here. My father was mean. My grandfather was mean. My great-great-grandfather came on the Mayflower. He was mean.
It's like Billy Madison. O'Doyle rules. Yeah, like, O'Doyle, I think your whole family is going to get it. Deep cut. And then we also had a text from the 608 West in Middleton. I think the social media culture we are in now is lowering everyone's self-esteem, especially children's. In my mind, when I think of a bully of any age, I think of someone with deep insecurities that feels the need to tear down others in order to feel more secure about themselves. I totally agree with that.
And I think that goes back to what I was saying in the last segment, which is we have to look at why kids and adults do this behavior, and can always be traced back to their parenting and the parenting they've received or did not receive, and the situations they were raised in. Because it's just, I mean, unless you're like two loving, wonderful parents and you just birth a child and the child's like, nope, I'm just gonna be mean, that's a different thing. But most of the time, you can really look back at these kids' lives and say, this is why you did it. And I mean, per example, and Karina brought it up herself. Karina brought up the bully in chief. Mm-hmm. When you think of Donald Trump, you can think a ton of things, but honestly, one of the first things I think of now, because it's just so easy to be mad at him and angry and do all the things, but I actually have a level of empathy for him because this was a young man raised in a family where he did not have a chance. He was born into extreme wealth.
Well, he didn't have a chance to be emotionally competent. That's
what I was just about to say.
Certainly had a financial chance.
No, that's what I was trying to say, is he was born into wealth, but he wasn't born into love. And he was shown quickly at a very young age that love is not something that comes easy or if ever from your parents. And when you have that sort of upbringing, it's not uncommon for it to be reflected out. And he amplifies it because he can, because we allow him as a society, whether you love him or hate him. We look at him and he just says, how far can I go to get this attention? I just want attention. Please look at me. It doesn't matter how I get it.
Yeah. And I think it's a good point as far as what social media is doing to all ages, as far as our insecurity versus security. But also, I mean, it also makes sense of why if insecurity and finding your place in the social hierarchy of, you know, your school, your community, your where you fit in the world. Like all of that, especially in middle school, is like the worst, right? Like it's like your first awakening is around 11 or 12, where you start thinking, caring like deeply about what everyone else thinks of you.
Yeah.
And so just to have insecurity be so rampant at that age,
yeah,
and how much that feeds into all of this. Got one more text from Judy in East Troy. Good morning. Going from public school in sixth grade to Catholic school for seventh and eighth was just being ignored, and that it is also hard for kids to not feel included. So that's also a thing, right? Like being, not being included is different than bullying. Still feels bad.
No.
But it's not necessarily like you're being targeted. And so I think that's why like definitions matter. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think being growing up is hard no matter what.
Yeah.
And so that's why kind of what like that headline originally struck me. 'Cause I was like, is it all bullying, or are we letting kids define what bullying is? And that could be not being included. That could be someone who was mean to them, but it wasn't necessarily targeted, and you treat it all the same. I don't know. 844-967-2789. If you still have thoughts on this, we will certainly read your texts or take your calls, but we are going to move on to some headlines, the good, the bad, and the, that's wasteful. The good. So this is not a headline. This is a tweet that then got corroborated by looking at the set lists, but Waukesha's Rainbow Land saga continues in an unexpected way, with hundreds of thousands of people singing along with Rainbow Land because of Waukesha School's own Jin Siebert. The Chicks, formerly known as the Dixie Chicks, are covering Rainbow Land at each of their concerts right now.
I love
and them. So since May, they have done a cover of Rainbow Land in all of their sets.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And so the Chicks do an incredible cover of Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton's song of inclusion and acceptance. One must think Melissa Temple, who was the teacher who was fired from Waukesha, is smiling, knowing that standing up for what's right is having a notable impact around the country and the world. So again, this wasn't written up anywhere. I saw this as a tweet, and then our friend Dave Driggenberg did some follow-up and said, indeed, they have included that in all of their sets. And I don't know if that, I haven't gone to a Chicks concert, but so I don't know if they are talking about it and talking about Waukesha in their concert, but very cool, nevertheless.
Yay. I have more reason to love the Chicks so much.
I do love the Chicks. I do.
Such a good concert.
All right, so the bad. If you have not heard yet, Jacksonville, Florida is in mourning because on Saturday, a white gunman opened fire at a Dollar General store and killed three black people, which included 52-year-old Angela Michelle Carr, 29-year-old AJ Laguerre, and 19-year-old Gerald Deshaun Gallion. And authorities said the gunman died after shooting himself. And the 21-year-old shooter was armed with an AR-15 and a Glock handgun that he bought legally, because correct me if I'm wrong, but Florida has permitless concealed carry. And witnesses said one of the guns was painted with swastikas and that the shooter made racist statements before opening fire. I guess he had tried to get onto the Edward Waters University campus, which is a small HBCU, but was asked to leave by on-campus security. And collectively, everyone's saying that this shooting was obviously racially motivated. I haven't even seen even Ron DeSantis, who, if anyone was going to say, well, no, we don't know yet, even he came out saying like this was a racially motivated act of violence. But, you know, this is just the latest. This is the latest, right? Of the shooter had written several manifestos filled with like hate ideology. And this is after last year when a shooter killed 10 people in a supermarket in Buffalo. And in 2019, when another man killed 22 people in Walmart in El Paso before telling police he wanted to kill Mexicans. And it's already like this year alone, we've seen 400 mass shootings in our country. And this is also happened 2 days, which is today, 2 days before today, and which is the 60th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech and the March on Washington. And doesn't feel like that's in times like this, it doesn't really feel like we've gone that. We've really reached that any progress. But I know we have to a certain extent, but this is awful. And I don't have anything like more intelligent to say about it because it is just awful. But I also feel like the responsibility of talking about these things when they happen, even whether it's police stuff or like racially motivated stuff, because like we can't just make it be normal and not talk about it, even if it's like not our state. And
you know, I'm not going to say anything other than the speech that Governor DeSantis gave. People were not impressed with it because he was
booed off, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he tried to make it seem like he understood, and people were like, man, you let these laws happen, you let these people flourish, and you have the nerve, you have the audacity to say something like this, and that you think we believe you when you say you care, because you don't, because you're allowing these things happen in your state. So just, you know, it's shameful. It's just shameful, that kind of behavior, to hold it up, and then as soon as it happens, like, we don't like this. This is not Florida. It's exactly for Florida. You created it.
I know. And I just don't know the mental gymnastics he has to go through to think that, like, it is his hands are totally clean as far as not encouraging an atmosphere of division and, you know, because this, you know, basically so much of what is, granted, he still has not been able to define what woke is, but, you know, largely what woke originally was meant to be was state, like, it was a, like, an AAVE term, as far as like black culture, as far as like stay aware and vigilant about the like systemic underbelly of why things are the way that they are, like stay woke as far as like stay aware of these things don't happen randomly. And now it's been turned into whatever gross cliche that like only boomers, like white Republican boomers, use it now. But largely the things that originally that was talking about woke was trying to get to continue to fight for social justice and equality around racial lines. And when you continue your fight on wokeness, ultimately is a fight on those things. You're saying like, we want the status quo. We don't want things to get better for the marginalized communities that are trying to fight for these things. Like, we want to not feel uncomfortable, because that's icky. So, all right. Well, we still have to get to the wasteful, and we also, a legend died over the weekend. So we will get to both of those stories after we come back from the break. Stick around for more As Goes Wisconsin just after this.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba, please be done?
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 56 overnight under mainly cloudy skies. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 75 tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 49. Mainly sunny skies and calm Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 75. 79 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. And at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bride. Greg Brock is on the board. And just to round out our last segment of the good, the bad, and the wasteful, France, I know where they could be just funneling this into a lot of people who would buy it. But, you know, I guess this is all the supply and demand stuff. But France is about to spend $216 million destroying 80 million gallons of surplus wine. That, so their 80 million gallons of French wine is just going to go down the drain. I don't know. Why does it cost so much money to destroy it? Can't you just pour it out? Like, I'm so confused by this, but that's enough liquid to fill more than 100 Olympic sized swimming pools. And so the problem is that higher production costs and shrinking demand for wine has made it impossible for French wineries to sell their spiked grape juice for a profit, even if it does have tantalizing hints of oak and leather. But listen to this. So now the average French citizen drinks about 40 liters of wine per year. In 1926, how much do you think it was?
250.
Oh, that's too much.
Okay. 42 liters.
136 liters. Okay. But that's still, I mean, that's 100 more. It's 100 more liters of wine than they do now.
And they drink it during the day, like, oh, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to have my wine. I love wine. Ugh. I don't know. French people, please direct calls to the Chad Holmes show.
This? Like, I don't know. What do you do with 80 million gallons of wine? And doesn't that just feel so wasteful? Like, I would, like, send me some.
This whole story was reported just send me the wine.
I know French wine is very good.
The brewery technical side of my brain wants to say maybe it's not fully fermented, maybe it is just bad at this point, because not all wine is good wine. Some is made cheaper. It's in, like, you know, fermentation vessels or vats, and they're like, we can't, there has to be an explanation. And I know that a lot of American people will be very upset, especially people who like to paint while drinking wine. They're very upset about this. They're very upset.
Well, it reminds me back in the pandemic when there was just footage of farmers just dumping milk down the drain because the supply chains had gotten so screwed up that. But at least with milk, like, milk goes bad.
Yeah.
Wine's got, like, a long shelf life before it goes bad.
I mean, if it's made properly, if it's not open, yeah, I mean, sure. But I'm saying, this might not be the best. This might not be France's best. We don't know. Have you ever seen old footage from, like, 1930 of agents just walking through distilleries and breweries and just bashing open barrels and letting the beer and the liquor just flow out.
From like Prohibition?
Yeah. Yeah. Just, they're just smashing like, no, give me 1 year.
So anyways, but yes, so that wraps up our the good, the bad, and the wasteful.
Yeah.
But also, RIP, another legend, Bob Barker has died. That's a long time. The Price is a Right host who kept us company when we were homesick from school, which is very true. That was like the lineup. I remember when I was homesick from school, it'd be like, probably what it would be before Price is Right. But then like, and then I would watch like soap operas.
Yeah.
But a fair amount of Price is Right, also in the summer.
Yep.
There was a lot of that. But he died at 99, which many, many, many people loved to make the joke over the weekend that he got as close to 100 without going over as possible.
And something personal for me with Bob Barker, we are birthday twins.
Really?
Same birthday.
There you go. Yeah. But, you know, he had a very easygoing demeanor. As we referenced Billy Madison earlier in today's show, he also had a very famous Happy Gilmore scene with Adam Sandler.
Which I was going to try to cut, but there really wasn't a lot to, like, it was...
He also probably had to, like, bleep some of it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but just go back and watch
it. Wrong, bitch! But did you know that, so he had the show... only give away American-made cars during the call for in 1991.
Wow.
And he was an influential animal rights advocate.
Yes, that I didn't know.
And he banned fur coats as prizes.
Hey, I mean, he said the same thing after every single show. And I think Drew Carey still says it to this day, is don't forget to get your pets spayed or neutered. Like, he was an icon in the world of animal rights and taking care of animals. Like, He had a building named after him.
And yeah, a PETA office building is named after Bob Barker.
Which I would love to sit down and be like, Bob, come here.
Like, PETA?
What do you think? What do you really think about PETA? You know?
But yeah, so he won 14 Daytime Emmy Awards as the host and executive producer. And then in 1999, he won a Lifetime Achievement Emmy.
Heck yeah.
And but this is my favorite. So he was 99. He died at home in Los Angeles. His publicist confirmed the death, but did not give a cause. And it's like, he died of old age. Like, he died of being old. Like, yeah. do we need to know, like, which body part, like, decided to stop working? Like, there's a certain threshold at some point where it's like, we know the cause. It's fine. Like,
when I was a young person, when a person was over the age of 75, it was always natural. It was always natural causes. It was natural cause. Or it was their time. You know, we didn't care after a certain age. When they're 22, you're like, oh, God, what happened? But 99, like, yeah, dude clocked out. He's done.
I feel like that happened with Queen Elizabeth, where they're like, oh, there was like some clickbait headline that was like, Queen Elizabeth's cause of death finally revealed. And then you open it, and it was like, she was old.
She old, dude. She old.
It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what we all thought.
And by the way, just as do yourself a favor, I'm playing the theme song in its full entirety, the intro and the outro. And it's only like 2.5 minutes. Listen to the song. It's a 70s jazz banger. It's the solo in the middle is just absolutely wonderful. I mean, just listen to it.
Let's close out this segment early so we can play more of the Price is Right theme song. Listen to it with your music ears, though, instead of the TV ears.
Yeah.
Really listen for the musicality, the structure of the
listen, it's for the notes. It's for the notes you don't hear and play. It's all about the jazz, baby.
All right. Well, when we come back from the top of the hour news, Corey Kaiser is going to be here, who is the owner and founder of Wisconsin Clothing Company and the host of the Shot of Wisco podcast. We're going to talk about his whole brand and content creation. And then at 11:30, we're going to talk about how public health opinions have changed over time. And what will we 40 years from now be saying? Wow, I can't believe we thought like that. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Come back in a minute.
The kids.
kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
News, I'm Lionel.